And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful that you've tuned in the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 24. Our Lord Jesus has just given the explanation of the parable of the four types of ground. The sower sowing the good prepared field. Some of the seed goes on the road. Some of the seed goes over here in the stony place where all the stones picked up out of the field and everything were piled up. Some of the seed fell over in the thorny ground where the briars and brambles grow and the weeds and such as that. And then there's that seed that is on the field prepared. The work of the Lord, the sower represents the seed. The sower represents his children. The seed represents the good word of God, the good rich word of God, and the Lord's purpose and intent in that sowed field, that prepared field that is sown by the sower. It brings forth fruit to the glory of God. Verse 24 of Matthew 13, verse number 24. Another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. And so these parables, And with this reference to the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, kingdom of Christ, all one and the same, give aspects and facets of the kingdom. None of these explain the kingdom of the Lord in total, but just a sliver, a piece of how it works. And so the Lord is, again, referencing a man that is sowing his field. But there's something else that he tells us here. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in this field. So this is known good seed. He knows what it is. He's going to tell us that it's wheat. And so it's certified. It's verified. It's known that this is good seed. Okay? But while men slept, so in the darkness of the night, in the workers and the laying down to rest their bodies, when the workers are not in the field, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So now we see a man sowing good seed in his field. So it is his field. He's a good man. And this is good seed, the Lord Jesus says, verified, certified seed. There's no problem with it whatsoever. And he sows his field, but then at a time unawares, at a time where there is the workers of this man are not in the field, an enemy, one that is against him, one isn't that is in opposition to him, one that does not want him to have success in his farming, in his growing, one that is opposed to him, he stealthily sneaks in and sows tares among the wheat and then goes away. He doesn't stay around to take responsibility. He doesn't stay around to see the outcome because he knows that it's going to bring trouble, it's going to bring discourse, it's going to bring an issue. And so then for a long, long time it grows. And you know what this tells us or what we understand about wheat and tares? Wheat and tares, as they grow up and being grasses, both of them grasses, if I understand that correctly, One, of course, one bears grain and the other just bears the seed to sow itself that is not good for food. As they grow up, they look very much the same. As they grow up and there's and the time goes on, they're going to look the same, and then there's going to hit a time they're going to be different. But when the blade, verse 26, was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the wheat put on a head, and that head is growing, and then all these slivers of tares of this grass, this weed, it doesn't have a head like the wheat does. It doesn't have a head that is going to be full in that. But they know that something has happened. So the servants of the householder, verse 27, came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? So the workers, the servants, they come and said, Master, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Wasn't it certified and verified that it was good, solid wheat seed? Your field's got tares in it too. What is going on? What is happening? How? Whence? How? Then hath it tares? How are these tares at hand? Verse 28. Wisdom and understanding on the part of the householder, the man. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. He knew the work of his workers. He knew that the seed was good. He knew the preparation of the field, that this would not be an issue. But he knows that an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him in their haste, Wilt thou then that we gather them up? He said, Do you want us to go in and gather up the tares to get them out from amongst your wheat? But he said, Nay, no, no, don't do it. No, don't do it. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. The Lord says that while it's growing, while in the cycle of the life of this wheat and these tares, if you root up the tares before the time, you will harm and pull up the wheat too. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Does that speak of the does that not speak indeed to the Lord's control and supervision, superintending of the affairs of the world? That if those people that are represented by these tares would be prematurely taken out of the world, that it would be a detriment to the children of God, and so the Lord causes them to remain? There is also this aspect that the Lord is merciful, and while the wheat is wheat and the tares are tares, they represent the children of the Lord and the children of the devil. That is just the way that is. But then from the standpoint of us not knowing such things, the Lord is merciful in time that is in the Lord's hands, His time of mercy. Who knows who the Lord would save and would call and would make his own and make that apparent. He said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, verse 29, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. The cycle of the life of this crop, the cycle of the wheat, when it comes to harvest, it will dry. The cycle of the tares, they will come to a point and they will dry up and too. And he says, let them both grow till the time of the harvest, the time of reaping. And I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them. So he'll tell the reapers, you go out there first and you gather up all the tares. And you gather them up and you put them into bundles. And here's what I want you to do with them. I want you to burn them. I want you to burn them. I want you to burn the seed that is in them. I want you to take them and destroy them. But gather the wheat into my barn. The Lord is going to gather his own unto him, and he will not miss a one. And despite despite the working of Satan and the people that have been given unto Satan, and I know in our day that's a very hard thing to take, a very hard thing to understand, but the thing is we need to understand about the Lord, we need to understand about His working, we need to understand about what the Scripture says about His own, and we need to understand about the depravity of man and the wickedness of man and the wicked, wicked work of Satan and the deception and murdering of man. People want to take and want to throw this up in the face of God that He is not just and He is not right in doing what He has done. But the thing is, He is altogether glorious and altogether merciful. If it was not for our Lord, there would not be one sinner saved. But praise God, there is a people that He will save. The wheat, represented by the wheat. Wheat is always wheat. And it will be gathered unto our Lord. Again, understand, this is just one facet of the kingdom. You can't understand the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of our Lord. You can't understand it just in one parable, but this is just one little piece of the truth of how it works. Another parable put He forth to them, verse 31, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. A very small seed, which indeed is the least of all seeds, verse 32, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. The little mustard seed. A man takes it and he plants it. And who would think that much would come from a mustard seed? But it turns into a great tree. So large, not large like an oak or hickory or ash or that, but a large tree, large enough that birds can come into it. And what did we hear in this chapter about the birds? The unsavory. And what do birds do when they get in trees? They roost. They roost. He says the kingdom is like this little mustard seed. It looks small. It looks weak. It looks unable, but it will grow and it will be strong and it will accomplish that which the Lord has given it to accomplish. It will come to pass as He has ordained, even though Satan and his minions will come and try to lodge in it and roost in it and dung it up and mess it up. It will grow. It will. What is it that the Lord says about that we, you and I need to have? Faith as a grain of mustard seed. The little seed, it's got the faith personifying it. Seeds don't live in the sense that we do, but personifying it grows up. It looks very, very small. We would think it would be nothing. It grows up into a great tree that can hold birds roosting in it, lodging in it, as He says. That's the way the kingdom of the Lord is. Everything opposed to the sureness and the inevitable coming of the kingdom of the Lord will be destroyed. So how about you? Where do you stand in regard to the kingdom? Are you searching for your own kingdom? Are you looking to build your own kingdom? I tell you what, enter the kingdom of the Lord through Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Believe and trust in Him and His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. You have no ability to create a kingdom that will last, but the Lord, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus, indeed will last forever. We point you to Him. Well, see, their time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of His gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Rill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org.
Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.